I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles now tonight to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. I think that's as far as I'll read. I would encourage you, if you would, just at another time perhaps, to read the whole chapter. But I'm going to tonight at least direct my remarks to the first part of the chapter, so I don't believe I'll take up the time to read this entire chapter tonight. Now let me say this on the very outset of our teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, that I certainly do not consider what we'll say here to be the final word on the subject. And I'm sure of this one thing: as all of us grow and mature spiritually in the Lord, we'll know more about these things in the process of time than we do now. I'd hate to think I know now all I'd ever know. And you see, in the daytime, well, we'll have time to talk about them, and if you know more about them than the rest of us, well, you can help the rest of us. Praise the Lord. We're here, after all, to teach, to talk, to discuss, you see, and to be helped. Now then, Paul begins here by writing to the church at Corinth. I would like to call your attention to this, that he's not writing to one member of the church at Corinth. He didn't address a letter to John Smith, who's a member of the church at Corinth. But he's writing to the whole church. And he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Well, I believe that Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God to write, don't you? And if the Spirit of God said through Paul that he didn't want the church at Corinth to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, then I certainly do not believe that he wants the church today to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Isn't that right? And yet there is a gross ignorance that exists concerning these things. In some places they know nothing at all about them. They don't even know such thing exists. They think they've all been done away with. And in other places, they know something about some of them, and some of them they seem to know very little about at all. And yet it seems to me that he's talking about all of them here, because he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning any of these things. Now then, he said, ye know, you see, the church at Corinth here had some peculiar things about it that would not exist among us. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. There was a time, you see, when these folks had idols that they worshipped. And it is also true in this idol worship, as people were motivated by the wrong spirit, they'd say a lot of things. And church history tells us that even some of these folks came into the Christian assembly, and when the Spirit of God began to manifest himself, that some of these people would also manifest themselves. They'd get up and say some things under the influence of the wrong spirit. In fact, some of them would arise in the service when the gifts of inspiration and utterance were in operation, would say, Jesus is accursed. But anyone could tell that's not the right spirit, that fellow wasn't speaking by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? Paul is saying that when the Holy Spirit's in operation, that he'll make Jesus Lord. If it's the utterance gift, well, of course, he'll say Jesus is Lord. If it's the other gifts, they'll always uplift the lordship of Jesus, not the lordship of some man, or attract attention unto men, but attract attention unto Christ. See? And so he said, therefore, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus accursed. One thing you can be sure of, if a fellow's exercising some kind of vocal gift, if he calls Jesus accursed or he belittles Jesus or speaks against him in any way, that's not the Spirit speaking. Isn't that right? And then he said that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, don't take that verse out of its setting and apply it to something else. Leave it right here. He's talking about in connection with spiritual gifts. Leave it right there where he's talking about. He's saying this, that if a spirit is in manifestation, a man's speaking by spirit, whether it be the right spirit or the wrong spirit, if it's the right spirit, it'll say that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I made reference to this fact one time, that there was an individual in my service that I was praying for folks by the laying on of hands for healing, and I sensed that somebody had a wrong spirit in them. And I knew within my own spirit that this person, before they ever got to me, I knew who it was. And so, therefore, I questioned them a little bit more closely when they did get to me. And I said to them, are you a Christian? They said, they belong to a certain church. And I said, well, you can belong to anybody's church and not be a Christian. You've got to be born again. Oh, I said, I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, people can say anything out of their mind. They can say Jesus is Lord and just act very religious sometimes, see. But they said, yes, I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. You only hear me talk in tongues? And just started rattling off something sounded like tongues. Well, now, of course, I realized this, that people who are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and know what they have in Christ, could talk in tongues. I can, just any time I want to. But I'm not going to just rattle something off to try to prove something. Are you? Are you listening to me? Well, of course, this spirit was in manifestation, so that's when you want to try them, when they're in manifestation. Now, I immediately said, sister, pray this prayer after me, and I prayed a prayer to God the Father, and she followed me. And then I said, and I acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your Son, and he is come in the flesh. And she said, and Jesus Christ is not your Son, and he's not come in the flesh. Well, now you can see readily that wasn't the right spirit speaking then, was it? That spirit where she was rattling off this something, I knew it wasn't tongues, it wasn't given by the Spirit. It was some kind of a gibberish, but it certainly wasn't of the Spirit of God. And so finally, after two or three times of repeating this, she said, something on the inside of me won't let me say what you said. I said, I know it. You want to be free from it? She said, I sure do. So we cast that spirit out of her. Then got her to pray the sinner's prayer and get born again and then filled with the Holy Ghost. And she went home talking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Praise the Lord. Well, now you see, here was a woman that was saying, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. and yet she wasn't at all. So, you see, people can make a lot of statements, and that wouldn't make them so necessarily. But what he's talking about here is when these things are in operation, when a spirit is speaking, or a spirit is in operation, if it's the right spirit, it makes Jesus Lord. Praise God. The wrong spirit won't make Jesus Lord and won't say Jesus Lord. See, that I said in my prayer, and I had this woman repeat it after me, I said, and the Lord, see, Jesus, that's calling him Lord, isn't it, is thy son, and he is come in the flesh. She didn't say Lord. She said, and Jesus Christ, left the Lord off, is not thy son, and is not come in the flesh. And so, he said that no man can say that Jesus of the Lord is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. As I said, don't take that verse out of its setting now and take it over in some other chapter, some other place, and try to prove something, because that would be unscriptural to do so. Now then he went on to say, now thou art diversities of gifts. Diversities just simply means different gifts, but the same Spirit. And thou art differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. Now then, there are two lines of thought here on this particular scripture. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I can see some merit in both of them. There is one line of thought that says, you see, that he says there are diversities or different gifts. Then he said there are differences of administrations. And so some say now these gifts are administered to different ones in different ways. And then he said there are diversities of operations. And then some say that means that they operate in different ways, not just always the same way, in different individuals. Well, that would be a plausible interpretation of what he's saying here. Then right on the other hand, there are those who believe, have, and operate spiritual gifts who follow two different lines of thinking here. Another one says that there are diversities of gifts, so there are different gifts. There are differences of administrations. And there are diversities of operations, and so they say what he's talking about here is three different things, not just gifts. He's talking about gifts, administrations, and operations. Well, I can see why they would think that. You say, which one of them is right? I don't know. If you do, I wish you'd tell me. I mean, scripturally speaking, I can give you my opinion on it. But I can see some credit to both of them, as far as that's concerned, you see. Now then, he went on to say in the seventh verse, and I'm going to leave that for a little bit, and I'll come back to it later on in some of our discussion. I'll just leave that for you to think about, you see. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now then, notice that he's calling these gifts, administrations or operations, if you want to call them that, he's calling them manifestations. The manifestation of them is given to profit withal. It isn't just given to the individual prophet, but to profit withal. That is, the whole church, the whole body, or the whole group might be profited. Then he went on to say, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. And he goes on to give us here nine manifestations. I want you to notice this, that about the simplest way to describe them is this, that three of these gifts or manifestations say something. They are gifts of utterance, or they say something. Three of them are gifts of power, and they do something. three of them are gifts of revelation, and they reveal something. Now, of course, the three gifts of utterance that say something are, first, prophecy, second, divers kinds of tongues, and third, interpretation of tongues. And then the three gifts of power are the three gifts that do something, or manifestations that do something, are, of course, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And in the Greek, it isn't so in the King James translation, not always, but in the Greek, every time the gifts is, every time this is mentioned, both gifts and healing are in the plural. There's no such thing as the gift of healing. In the Greek New Testament, both of them are plural. It's always gifts of healings, never gift of healing. Gifts of healings. Those are the three gifts that do something, are what we call the three power gifts. Now then, the three gifts of revelation are the three gifts that reveal something. These three, of course, are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Now, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but I have given you these gifts in their importance. Or, in other words, of the three gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom is the best gift. Of the three gifts of power, the gift of faith is the best gift. Of the three gifts of utterance, the gift of prophecy is the best gift. You know, the Bible did say, to seek earnestly the best gifts. Are you listening to me? And when we discuss them in detail, I'll tell you why they are the best. Then let me say this, that the word of wisdom is the best gift of all of them. That's the best of all of them. And when we discuss that gift, we'll tell you why it is, see? All right, we'll discuss those things a little bit more in detail in the process of time. Now then, let's start in with the head of the list. Of course, he gives here first, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's the eighth verse. Both word of wisdom, word of knowledge are given in the same verse. The word of wisdom is given first. However, I propose to discuss the word of knowledge first. Now, I'll tell you why I do. After discussing this one first, I think you can understand the other one better. I think if we give the other one first, you wouldn't understand this one so well. See? So we'll give the word of knowledge. We'll discuss the word of knowledge first. Now then, I want you to notice this fact, that this gift is called the word of knowledge. It is not the gift of knowledge. There is no such thing as a spiritual gift of knowledge. There is a word, a spiritual gift called the word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge is the supernatural revelation of the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God. You see, God is all knowledge. He knows everything, doesn't he? But he doesn't reveal to man everything. He just gives him a word or a part of what he knows. Now, you know, a word is a fragmentary part of a sentence. And a word of knowledge would just simply be a fragmentary part of knowledge. God is all-knowing. He has all knowledge. He doesn't impart knowledge to you. He imparts a word of knowledge to you, just what he wants you to know. Now then, this word of knowledge is a supernatural manifestation, as is all of these gifts. None of them are natural gifts. They are all supernatural gifts. If one of them is supernatural, then they all are. Or if one of them is natural, then they're all of them are natural. Now, for instance, there are those, and I can't understand it. I'll be honest with you. Maybe my understanding isn't as fruitful as it should be. But there are those, even in full gospel circles, that I've read after I have the books in my possession at the moment, that leave the impression, if they do not say so, well, yes, one of them says so, that this here is just natural knowledge. But, as I said, if that's true, then the gifts of healings would not be supernatural healings at all, but simply would be what people have learned, like our good doctor here, what he's learned and what he puts into practice through medicine. That would be what he was talking about in gifts of healings. Well, we certainly believe in medical science, all right, and thank God for all they know and all they can do. But I believe he's talking about supernatural healing here, don't you? See? And then when it would come to the divers kinds of tongues, then folks who wouldn't even be saved would have that gift. That just simply means people who know and can speak different languages, who've learned them naturally, you see? Well, we know, just as much as we know anything, that this divers kinds of tongues is supernatural. It's speaking in languages that you never learned. It's given to you by the Holy Spirit, isn't that right? And we know that this gifts of healings is not natural healing. That is, man, through his study, has learned that in the world of nature that certain things have power over other things, and they've learned to assist nature. But we know this is supernatural. But I believe that if two of them out of the nine manifestations are supernatural, then all nine of them are supernatural. So I believe then that this is not natural knowledge, but it is supernatural. A supernatural revelation of a word of knowledge. And as I said, so many times it is confused with natural knowledge. I've seen those who have said, well, now, you know, we don't need some of these lesser gifts. You know, we have the gift of knowledge. And the knowledge that they were bragging about was really intellectual knowledge, something that they'd gained themselves apart from the Holy Ghost or the Word of God. But that's not what this is talking about here at all. This is a supernatural something. For instance, on the Isle of Patmos, John, you remember, was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And Jesus appeared to him in a vision. Now we'll learn something about how this word of knowledge may come. It may come. This revelation might come through a vision. And Jesus, in that vision, revealed to him the condition of the seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, I know, of course, and I believe that there is a prophetic message for us today in this revelation, but right on the other hand, these seven churches of those first three chapter revelation actually existed at that time in Asia Minor. They were actual literal churches. And so Jesus, in this vision to John on the Isle of, out there on the Isle of Patmos, he couldn't know what was going on in these cities. It'd be impossible for him to know what was happening there or in these churches. But Jesus told him their spiritual condition, didn't he? In other words, he revealed that to him. Well, that was a word of knowledge. Now then again, you remember Ananias in the ninth chapter of Acts. The Bible said there was in the church, the ninth chapter of Acts. Now there was in the church at Damascus a certain disciple named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now again, here's a vision. Here's a word of knowledge that came through a vision. Ananias, Jesus appeared to Ananias. Ananias wasn't, now not John was an apostle, but Ananias wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't an evangelist. He's not even listed as being a teacher. The Bible calls him a disciple. Well, you know, we'd just say in our modern day language, he's just a lay member. Just a member of the church there. So, thank God, just members of the church as well as ministry. Can, as the Lord wills, have a manifestation of the word of knowledge. And so it said to him, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, I'm here, Lord. He said, arise. The Lord said to him, arise and go into the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of so-and-so for Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen, see, Saul has seen in a vision, a man named Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Well, now, you see, this isn't natural knowledge, that's supernatural. How could Ananias know that in such and such a house, and such a street, there was a man named Saul that was praying right at that minute? Well, he couldn't. I said he couldn't. He couldn't know that by natural knowledge at all, could he? How could he know that Saul had seen a vision, and he had, in his vision he had seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him, and they might receive his sight? Well, he couldn't. Ananias couldn't have known that any other way except through supernatural revelation. Isn't that right? The knowledge of the fact, you see. Now, of course, God knew everybody that's praying everywhere, didn't he? Didn't he? He knew just everybody who might have had a vision in the whole world at the same time. He'd know that. He'd know everybody's address. But he didn't give Ananias all knowledge of everybody who might have had a vision or everybody who might be praying. But he just gave him a word concerning the one man. Praise the Lord. That was supernatural, wasn't it? That was a supernatural revelation. That is the word of knowledge that came to him in a vision. Now then, I thought about one place where I preached one time. They had a very similar thing to this. The ladies were meeting at the church in the morning time and have a little Bible lesson together and pray, and then they'd go out and visit, you know, two of them, you know, knock on doors. More or less, pretty well, just sort of going in their own strength. You know, you can do that in your own strength and not do much. Just sort of work yourself to death. So they'd been knocking on doors for a couple of weeks and then, you know, talking to people and hadn't won anybody to the Lord. They did get one family to come visit church. But it's pretty well given out. The pastor's wife was meeting and praying with them and going helping them some. And she told me personally, she said, I said to them one morning, I said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's don't just read a little from the Bible and pray a little and then go out. But I don't know what let's do. Let's read and then just stay here and pray maybe an hour, maybe longer if necessary, until we definitely are led to go out. I believe we'll get more done if we're just led of the Spirit. Well, these ladies said we've nearly worked ourselves to death and walked and walked and walked and walked and haven't seen much fruit of our labor. So we'll do it this way. Well, she said, it won't hurt to do it this way. We'll just see what happens, you see. And so the very first morning, they'd been praying about an hour, and this pastor's wife told me, said, while I was praying, I had my eyes shut, I had a vision. And I saw an apartment house. There were two apartments downstairs, two apartments upstairs, and I looked on the front, and it said 405. So I knew that was the address, and then I wondered, well, what street's it on? Then I saw the street in this vision. I saw the street, you know, sign on the corner. And so I knew that's 405. We'll just simply, it wasn't this, but we'll just simply say South 3rd Street. See? And so she said, I said to them, wait a minute, I believe the Lord, you know, they'd sort of gotten quiet anyway. They'd been praying about an hour. And I said to them, I don't know about the rest of it, but I believe I got some direction here. We'll go check out on it and just see. So she took one of the ladies with her. And so she said, we found this street. We found this apartment house. Now, I'd lived there for several years in the town, but never been there before in my life. See? And so, we found the address. 405 was the number. Now, she said, I knew that I saw us, myself climbing steps, and I knew it was the upstairs apartment to the right. Beyond that, didn't know anything. See? That's all I knew. That's all I saw. So we got there, the lady with me, and I told them what I saw. We climbed the steps and knocked on the door of this apartment, and a voice on the inside said, come in. So I opened the door, you know, to look, because it's new and strange, you know, and sort of pushed the door back and stepped inside. Wasn't a very large apartment, wasn't really a nice apartment house, just really an old house that four apartments had been built in, an old two-story house. And the minute I stepped inside, there was a lady laying on a bed over in the corner and said she just started shouting. And she just had her a shouting spell. And so we went on in, finally got her calmed down. And she said, I recognize you the minute you come in the door. Said, I was praying 6 o'clock this morning. I had a vision and never met her before in my life. But I saw you coming in, laying hands on me, and I was healed. And she laid hands on her, and she was healed. Praise the Lord.
Well, now, you see, that's very similar to what happened here. But right on the other hand, by natural knowledge, that pastor's wife couldn't have known that that lady was sick. She didn't know her. She couldn't have known that she was praying for healing. But you see, while she was praying in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost just gave her a word. Now, he knew where everybody was that was sick. God knew where everybody was. He knew the address. He knew everybody that's praying. But he just didn't tell her about everybody that's sick. He just sent her to the one. Praise the Lord. He gave her a word of knowledge. It came to her in a vision form. Now, sometimes this word of knowledge comes by an inward revelation. Sometimes it may come, and sometimes these gifts operate together. You see, we just separate them to define them. But a word of knowledge may come sometimes through tongues and interpretation, or through the gift of prophecy, actually. Or a word of knowledge might be given sometimes an angel might come to deliver the word to you. God has a variety of ways of doing things. Now then, let's go just a step further here. Also, this knowledge is confused, this word of knowledge, this gift of the word of knowledge is confused sometimes with a profound knowledge of the Bible or deep knowledge of God's word. I think, really, that's what that minister was trying to tell me, that he had this word of knowledge, you see, because he had studied the Bible and so on. But that's not what this knowledge is about here. It's certainly true that God would help you to understand his word. But you see, this is a supernatural gift. And I'm sure it does work sometimes in connection with the Bible, and that God does reveal things in connection with his word that you didn't know. But you see, if we were to get by with this, well, you wouldn't have to study. Yet Paul told Timothy, and he was a young minister, study. Timothy was a young minister, wasn't he? Pastor of a New Testament church. And Paul, in his letter to him, said, study. Study. Study to prove thyself. You see, that kind of knowledge of God's word comes by study. But this knowledge is a supernatural revelation. Praise God. And then again, let's look at it this way for just a moment. It's erroneously associated a lot of times, this is, and confused with that very real knowledge of God that comes by walking with God. In other words, by you walking with God, through experience with God, you gain a real knowledge of him. But that's not this knowledge. Over in the Old Testament, you know, we have the story of Samuel and Eli. I'll not take time to turn and read it because we're so limited with time. In 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, you can read it for yourself. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, the 4th through the 10th verse. Put the reference down and read it later if you'd like. I'll not take time. I'll just relate it. You'll remember it well enough. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4 through 10. Now here was the old prophet of God, Eli, who was an old man. Here was Samuel, who was just a child. Just a child. Samuel was there in the temple, you see, sort of helping, almost a servant in a sense, you might say, to Eli. And so this fourth verse said, Samuel, you know, he had gotten off to bed, and he heard a voice say to him, Samuel? Well, he thought Eli was calling. He got up and went in there, you know, to Eli's room, which had to be close by, maybe just right next door, I don't know. But anyway, Eli said, no, I didn't call. So he went back to bed, and he'd gotten settled good, I guess, about ready to get off to sleep, and he heard again the voice say, Samuel, Samuel? And he jumped up and ran in there, you know, and said, well, I'm here, you know, what do you want? Well, he said, I didn't call you. So he went back to bed, and I suppose now that he's just about ready to go to sleep again, about that time he heard the voice say, Samuel, Samuel? And he just simply jumped up and run in there again and said, you know, what do you want? Did you call? Well, about that time it dawned on Eli that God must be talking to the boy. So he said to him, no, I didn't call you, but said, now the next time the voice comes, said, you answer it. And so he got back to bed, and God spoke, and he answered the Lord. And the Lord talked to him. Well, now then, Eli had been walking with God. He hadn't been as faithful as he ought to with his children about raising them up right. But he had known the things of God, you see. And yet he didn't hear God talking. You see what I mean? So you see, this kind of knowledge can't come, doesn't come by a long walk with God or having experiences with God, you see. There is a knowledge of God that is obtained in that way, just like this, that as you walk with an individual and as you become better acquainted with a friend or a neighbor, you know more about them. Your knowledge of them increases. Isn't that right? So naturally, as you walk with God, your knowledge of God increases. Isn't that true? And you do gain a greater knowledge of Him. But that is not the spiritual manifestation, you see. Now then, this, as I said, is supernatural. You remember in the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter was down in Joppa. Notice this. Let's turn over here to Acts 10. Read this. Because this is another manifestation of the gift that we're talking about. We'll not read all of it. You could read in the process of time the whole 10th chapter, if you like, of the Acts. But it says here that in the 9th verse, and on the morrow, as they went on their journey. Now, these are the men that were sent from Cornelius' household to inquire, you see, for Simon. So as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. The 6th hour is noon, 12 o'clock noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a gray sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. Now then, get this. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee." Now that was the word of knowledge. The men were there. The Spirit said to them. No, he didn't see them. He had no other way of knowing they were there, except the Spirit told him he was there. Well, now somebody said, how did the Spirit do that? I do not know. I know the Spirit said it, but I do not know whether it was just an inward revelation that came within him, or whether he actually heard the Spirit. And I would say that somebody said, well, it said the Spirit said it. Well, of course, I know that. It didn't say the Spirit revealed to him, and yet what the Spirit said did bring a revelation, did it? I know in my own case that sometimes in the operation of this, very similar to that it works both ways. sometimes it just seems to sort of rise up on the inside of you, and it's revealed on the inside, and you just know it, as though something had said it. And then again, sometimes I actually, on the inside of me, hear the voice saying it. Three men, said the Spirit, said, three men seek thee. Well, now, of course, God knew everybody everywhere that was seeking folks. I'm sure that there were other places in that same town, that same city, where folks had come to seek people out for different reasons. But he didn't tell him about everybody, he just told him about what concerned him. Three men, he said, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, I'm not going to talk about the rest of it, because there's another revelation involved here, as well as the word of knowledge. I'm just defining the one right now. Actually, the word of wisdom is in operation here, too. See? They work together sometimes. But we're just isolating one to discuss them, you see. And so the word of knowledge part was just simply a revelation by the Spirit of God, you see, supernaturally concerning facts in the minds of God, in the mind of God. These facts are concerning people, places, or things. Hallelujah. Now then, I want you to notice this, that was a supernatural revelation. Peter did not know the men were there. He had fallen into a trance and had seen this vision. And while he was thinking about, sort of doubting within himself what it meant, and thinking about what this vision meant, the Spirit said to him, brought him a supernatural revelation. The Spirit said to him, three men seek thee. They're there. Well, it's already, we read here a fact that they were standing at the gate. Praise the Lord. You know, this manifestation of the Spirit isn't just for yesteryear, it's for today. One full gospel president, one of the full gospel chapter presidents, local chapter, said recently to me, he said, you know, Brother Higgin, he said, in one of our seminars, he called me aside and said, I sort of had a peculiar experience today. He said, you know, I didn't want to miss it, didn't want to miss God, but he said, I was going home from work. He's a Baptist man, but Spirit-filled, president of the Full Gospel Chapter. Has a very nice job with the company he works for, in fact, one of the executives. But he said, as well as I remember, see, there may be some detail I may not have just right, but as well as I remember, he said this to me because he's talking to me personally. And I like to be exact, you know, I don't like to misrepresent anything, but I realize it's hard to retell something maybe just like words a man used. But anyway, he said, I was going home from work, and from the office, and he passed by a large Catholic church, Roman Catholic Church. Saint somebody, he told me what it was, I don't remember, you know. But he said, something seemed to say to me to stop. Well, he said, I don't, you know, of course I came out of the Baptist and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he still went to a Baptist church, but his pastor's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In fact, the pastor wanted me to hold a meeting. In fact, he said, I think 90% of his congregation all have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. And so he said, you know, I don't want to get off, and I can understand that. I don't believe any of us want to get off into to be misled or think God's leading us and follow just any kind of a voice, do we? And yet that's possible, isn't it? You know, I've seen some mighty good people, some wonderful people, even ministers who a few years ago had a marvelous ministry that just absolutely on the rocks. They shipwrecked because they got to follow the wrong voice. Well, I want to follow the right voice. How can you tell? Well, if you'll stay with the Word, the Spirit of God will always lead you in line with the Word. But you can check things out, you see. So he said, I pulled in on the church parking lot, you know, and stopped, you know, and sat there to pray a little bit and meditate about it, you know, and said, something seemed to say to me that this, whatever they call the
priest, I guess, of the church. We'd call him the pastor, you know, was there. And that he would be in his office in the rectory. And so he said, and that he was praying. And so he said he thought, well, now, I don't want to make a fool of him. And something seemed to say to him, I want you to go in and lay hands on them and maybe fill with the Holy Ghost. Well, he said, I don't want to make a fool of myself, you know, here and be, you know. Said, he sat there and thought a little while longer and prayed a little bit more. And he thought, well, it won't hurt anything at least for me to go see if I can find him, see if he is there. And then you know, and just sort of feel it out and see if God is leading me. I think, you see, that sometimes God has begun to lead people, but they jumped up and said, oh, the Lord's leading me. He told me to do this. And just get everything all messed up because they get ahead of God. You see, instead of waiting, following God softly and letting him open the door, and see? So he said, well, I'll just go check it out. He didn't say, yeah, the Lord's talking to me. The Lord's giving me a word here. He just went to see about it, you know, and see how it works out. Just see what's happening here. And he finally found his way in some way or another and knocked on the door of this study, and a voice invited him in. He opened the door. And a man sitting in a chair by the desk had some books open on the desk. He didn't look at the books, but he just saw the man. The man got up to greet him, the priest. And he stuck his hand out and said, I'm so-and-so, full president of the full gospel, you know, chapter here. And immediately said, the man took my hand and said, praise the Lord. He said, I knew I was in the right place. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the priest said, you know, I was just reading here. He pointed to the books on his table, on his desk. I was just reading here about this, what God's doing in these days, and about this moving of the Spirit. And he said he had two books written by Catholics, Father Ranigahan's book, you know, and then another one about this. And of course, full gospel was mentioned there. And then full gospel bending, you know, and the part they played. And then he had another book written by a Protestant. And he said, I was just reading about this, and this baptism of the Holy Ghost, and this speaking with other tongues. And he said, the Lord just witnessed to my spirit that this is what you need. This is what's lacking. He said, I was conscious of my own lack. I mean, spiritually. I believe I know the Lord is my Savior. But he said, I there's a spiritual lack within me. And he said, the minute you mentioned full gospel bending, said, I knew that was right. In fact, he said, it hadn't been 10 minutes ago that I just bowed my head on my desk and put my head in my arms and with tears said, dear Lord, I don't know anybody. I don't know whether this full gospel bending chapter here or not. You know, folks don't. We think they do, but they don't. And I don't know anybody here in our town that's got this experience. Send somebody by to pray with me. Well, that almost sounds like the Acts of the Apostles, don't it? Send somebody by to pray for me. And here's a Baptist, Spirit-filled Baptist chapter president driving down the street, and the Spirit of God arrested him, said, pull in here. Said, there's a man in there, a priest, you know, and being Baptist, he sure wouldn't want to stay away. I mean, he wouldn't stay as far away as he could from, you know. And he said, that priest got on his knees and I laid hands on him. He lifted both hands, started talking in tongues almost instantly. Got up and hugged him. There was a Baptist and a Catholic a-hugging one there. And a crying. And a talking in tongues. I'll tell you, things are just... It's amazing what all's happening. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Well, if I was you, I wouldn't try to figure it out. Ain't any of your business anyhow. I mean, just leave God's business with him. Why don't you let God tend to his own business? That's what's got us in the mess we're in a lot of times, you see. We sure it can't be God because it's not coming through our church, you know, because if it's God, why, he'd be doing it here. You know how that is? You might as well say amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I tell you, friend, God's going to visit hungry hearts everywhere. Did you hear me? I said, God is going to visit hungry hearts everywhere. He's not going to pay attention to the little boundary lines we set up. And these names we've got on the can. After all, you can put any kind of a label on the empty can, that won't put anything in the can. It's not the label that counts, it's what you got on the inside. Amen. Well, say amen if you can. Amen. Praise God.
But I believe in supernatural manifestation. You know, after all, that was supernatural manifestation, wasn't it? And that happened just in January of this year. Here's an experience very similar to what we see happening here in the Acts of the Apostle, happening because the Holy Ghost is still manifesting himself among those who believe. Praise the Lord. And so, we need these things. Praise God. We need supernatural manifestations today, just as much as they need them then. Isn't it silly that some folks said, now we've got the Bible in its complete form, so we no longer need supernatural manifestations? Oh, brother. Well, you know, that's so stupid it don't even deserve an answer. Amen, that's the truth, that's the truth. I want you to notice, as we said, this is a supernatural gift. It's a supernatural manifestation. Nothing natural about it at all. How in the world could this chapter president, this Baptist, Spirit-filled Baptist, know that this man was wanting somebody to pray for him to be filled with the Spirit and was ready to be filled with the Spirit without a supernatural revelation? Now, see, the man, the priest had read about it in these books. He had decided this is right. And he had prayed God send somebody. Cornelius, you see, had had a vision. The angel couldn't preach to him, tell him how to get saved, but he could tell him where he could send to get somebody to preach to him. So he sent the three men down there after him. And old Peter's up there on the housetop praying. He fell into a trance, and God, through the vision that he had first, was telling him, you know, he's going to cleanse the Gentiles, and don't you bring them in. Don't you call unclean that which I've cleansed. But then the Spirit of God gave him a word of knowledge, supernatural revelation, that three men are right there at the gate, come for you, you go with them. I want you to notice, in the Old Testament, a number of ways. You see, in the Old Testament, they had supernatural manifestation as well as the New. In fact, they had all the gifts and manifestation in the Old Testament, except tongues with interpretation. Now, there's a reason why they didn't. We'll cover that when we get to it. But you'll find word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, special faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, and prophecy. All of those gifts were manifested in the Old Testament. They were manifested, all of those were manifested in the New Testament, first under the ministry of Jesus. Then after the day of Pentecost, well, you see tongues with interpretation being in manifestation as well as the other ones. Now, in the Old Testament, we find this, that in 2 Kings, you can look it up real quickly. I'm not going to take time because my time's run out on me. But in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 12th verse, this word of knowledge was given to warn a king of the enemy's plan of destruction. You remember every time the enemy would come up against or would set up an ambushment against Israel, well, the prophet of God would tell them their plans. Finally, this king just sort of got his, we'd say, his cabinet together and said, now we've got a traitor among somebody's giving us away. Because they're giving our plans to them over there. And they said, no, it's not us. Said, there's a man of God over there, prophet of God over there, and said, he tells the king over there what you think in your bedchamber. So they got out after the prophet then. They're going to have to stop him before they could stop anything, you see. But you see, that was a supernatural revelation. How could he know he wasn't over there except it was revealed to him supernaturally what the plans were? It saved him from danger. Pastor said to me, I was holding a meeting for him. You see, this was used as to warn a king of the enemy's plan of destruction. Pastor said to me, a very good friend of mine, I was holding a meeting in another church years later. I had held a meeting in the church where he was talking about, though he wasn't the pastor at the time. But they were working on the church, redoing it, remodeling the church, put on a new roof. He was setting up on top, you know, helping the men shingling the roof, or putting a new roof on. And he said just as plain to me, he said just as plain as the Spirit of God speaking to Peter here, he said, the Spirit of God said to me, mentioned a certain man in the church, said he's over at such and such person's house right now, and they're over there. And they're starting a petition, they're going to try to get up a petition to put you out as pastor. So he said, I just climbed down, got in my car, right in my working clothes, and went over there and rang the doorbell. The lady came to the door, and she didn't want to let me in. One of his church members. He said, I just pushed the door back and went right on in. And there about 20 of my members were sitting around there, and I said to him, well, the Lord sent me over here. He said, you see, I was sitting up on the roof, shingling, or roofing, and said, the Lord told me that so-and-so called his name, pointed right at him, had got these people together and going to try to get all of them he could to sign a petition, to start a petition to put me out. If he could get a third of the congregation to sign it, he could have an election on it, please, you see. Well, that poor fellow was he hadn't brought it up yet. He just got them together claiming it was a prayer meeting, you see. But he was so overcome that he just said, yeah, I said, I got it in my pocket right here. I said, ain't nobody signed it yet, though. He said, and just fell on it, and he said, my God, forgive me. My God, he said, if the Lord's telling on me, it must be wrong. So he got them all lined up. Praise the Lord. I tell you, we need a little more of that. That'd just solve a lot of difficulties, wouldn't it? Amen. That just solve a lot of difficulties. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, if we're not ignorant concerning spiritual gifts and desire them, they'll be in manifestation. We'll have more of them. That was sort of like this, warning the king of an enemy's plan, see? Here God warned the pastor of the plan of the enemy. Well, then again, we see that this word of knowledge came to enlighten and encourage a discouraged servant. You remember old Elijah? Oh, he had a great time up there on the mountaintop when he prayed the fire down, he prayed the rain down, remember? But then when the hand of the Lord was on him and he outran the king's chariot 14 miles across the plain of Jezreel. But just about the time he got to Jezreel, somebody said, you know what? He said, what? Well, said Jezebel, said about this time, by this time tomorrow she's going to have your head off your shoulders. He started running again. But this time the hand of the Lord wasn't on him and he gave out. He ran that 14 miles and didn't give out. The hand of the Lord is on him. And he climbed up under a juniper tree, you know, and begged God to let him die. Make a long story short, he finally said to God, you know, everybody's backslid but me. Everybody's bowed the knee to Baal. I'm the only one that's left. But God gave him a little word of knowledge that encouraged him, enlightened him. He said, no, you're not the only one that's left. God said, I've got 7,000. Now, he couldn't know that any other way. I've got 7,000 reserved unto myself that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm sure that encouraged him, don't you, to know that he wasn't the only one left. Praise God that God's got 7,000. Praise the Lord that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And then again, this word of knowledge was used, you know, to expose a hypocrite. You remember, as in the case of Elijah, Elisha, and Gehazi. You remember Naaman had come and was healed of his leprosy, warned to give Elisha changes of raiment, we'd say suits of clothes, silver and gold and so on, and he wouldn't take it, but his servant ran after him. Lied to him, said, after you left, two young prophets came, though my master wouldn't take anything for himself, he'd said it's all right to take a couple of changes of raiment, a couple of suits of clothes, a piece, you see, for these prophets, so many talents of silver, so many talents of gold. Well, of course, old Naaman was so thrilled to be healed of leprosy, he just gave him twice what he asked for, and Gehazi just went and hid it, because he is a thief, and lying to him. And when he came back into the presence of Elisha, he said, where you been? He said, nowhere, my master. He said, my heart or my spirit went with you when you joined yourself to that chariot. I saw you. But how could he be sitting in his own house and know what was going well on outside or miles away? Well, God had to reveal it to him. He brought him a supernatural revelation of what had happened. And it exposed that hypocrite. You know, we need that too. Amen.